First off, I'd like to welcome everybody here. For those visiting, maybe I've never seen your face before, for those that are here every week, I want to welcome you and thank the Lord that you've made your way out to God's house this morning. You know what? We're going to be talking about a very familiar scripture this morning over in Genesis, the 6th chapter. The story of Noah and the ark. And I think there's a lot of things that we can get out of this. And praise God, you know what? I believe that if we look into it, never heard before, but I believe it's worth going back over. God's Word should never get old to us. It should never, ever come to the point where we get bored with it. Because there's so much, even as a preacher, when I go back over this stuff and read the Scripture over and over again, I get so much out of it time and time again, and I hope you do also. Genesis, the 6th chapter, beginning with the 5th verse. And God saw that the wickedness of man, and that every man, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy men from whom I have created from the face of the earth, both men and beasts, and the creeping things and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in his generation, and Noah walked with God, and Noah begat 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way of flesh has come before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Let us pray. Father, if we come, Lord, this morning, I come, Lord, with thanksgiving in my heart. I come just praising you this morning, wanting you to understand, Lord, that I'm my only hope, my only trust, and all that I can this morning, Lord. Lord, I ask you, Lord, now to be with the hearts that's in here this morning, Lord. I pray, Father, that you would open them up. I pray, Father, that the word would go to them the way that you would have it to go. In Jesus' name we pray and ask, and amen. As I stated earlier, there are many things that we can learn from this story of Noah and the ark. But folks, you know, but most folks don't want to learn them. Because you know what? There's a lot of people out there that do not believe this story. They don't believe that it ever happened. But you know what? I want to tell you this morning, you can learn from it. And I want to tell you this. Don't miss the boat this morning. I'm talking about figuratively and literally this morning. Do not miss the boat. You know what? The Bible's very clear about the facts that I'm going to read to you about in the story this morning. You know what? Mankind became grieved God and it pained him and decided to send a flood upon the earth to destroy mankind. And you know what else? You know what it says? And God instructed Noah to build a huge boat, which he did. And you know what God did? He also instructed the animals to come to this ark, and they come covered with water. And Noah and his family, look at this, Noah and his family were on that boat for the better part of a year. And once they came off the boat, God promised that he would never destroy the earth again with flood. That's very simple. Am I right? That's probably a very, very simple summary about what happened there. And you know what? To you and me, it really isn't hard to believe that story. Am I right? I hope I'm preaching to the choir here this morning. I hope I am. I hope that you believe the story that I just read to you this morning. You know what? There are many, though, that need more than what the Bible account says. There are many out there that want more than what the Bible says. Well, let me give it to you. There's over 270 cultures in the world that have with it. 270 cultures. Can you believe? You know what I'm telling you? I want you to go out there. The internet's out there. Everything's out there. You go out there and you look and you read and see if I'm not telling you the truth on this. Man became corrupt, survived the flood, and from all other cultures. This isn't just from the Bible. A dove or some kind of bird was sent out to find dry ground and to survive, and they repopulated the earth. This is in 270 other cultures, if you want to read about it. You know what? You know what historians tell us about a situation like that? If there is that many cultures that believe pretty much the same thing and tell pretty much the same story, guess what? If it acts like a duck, if it quacks like a duck, it is a duck. Amen? There had to be historians say, this is what Dave Long believes. If God's word says that Noah was on this earth and God had him to build an ark and that the world was... That's what happened. I stand upon that and I will stand upon that. And you know what? And then for us this morning, here at Drift Run Church, there's no question, I believe, that story was true, right? So what does God want us to learn from it? What brought God to this point that he became so angry at mankind that he destroyed it? Unbelievably wicked. That's what happened. Mankind, you've got to be really bad to get God this ticked off, am I right? God puts up with a lot from us and from me, from you, from the world. God describes it this way. If you want to read it, it said, and the Lord saw how great man's wickedness was on the earth. Every thought in his heart was only evil all the time. Guess what? Just in case that wasn't clear enough, what I read to you this morning, if you look on down through there, God repeated it. The scripture repeats it, but what, two or three other times in the same scripture I preached. How bad that mankind had become. He says, I'm going to put an end to it. You know, one of the most sad scriptures that I believe that's in the Bible is found, and when it said in verse 6 there, and it repented the Lord that he had made man. It repented you and I. It said in right there that it repented how wicked man was. It repented him that he had made mankind. I tell you the truth, folks, and I say this, and I believe this. How sad must he feel today sometimes? How sad must he be? How angry must he be getting today? You know what? Listen to me. You know, I'm surely going to destroy both. There was no kindness in these people and no compassion. Because when it says every imagination. Listen, they couldn't even think a clean thought. That's what that means. If you take and look at that back, their minds, everything that they done, everything that they thought was continually evil. Wow. And we're not talking just the people around Noah. We're talking God destroyed all of mankind that was on the earth at that time. Their heart, their thoughts were continually evil all the time. You know what? Unless they could hurt someone or gain advantage over someone. And I'm telling you just what this means. What it meant by every imagination of the heart was evil. They just... What's that sound like today? Life was cheap to them. And you know what? They were cheap and they honored and they were despised. If you had honor and credibility about you like Noah did, you were despised. Their entire society considered others to be worthless. I'm just telling you what it was like in the day of Noah. Does that sound familiar? You know what it said? See what people think about moral values? What they think about them. You know what? What do people think about it today? You know the question to that. I know I'm preaching probably like I told you. Anybody who had any trace of niceness about them, anybody who had that, didn't have a chance at that time. Did not have a chance. Folks, they were corrupted or killed. Morality was something, you know what, that was not to be tolerated whatsoever. It made too many people. After all, have you ever heard this? Who appointed you to be judge? Right? I hear that all the time. Who appointed you to be judge? Well, you know what? I'm not a judge, but I stand upon the authority of God's Word, and I guarantee you that one of these days, my Bible tells me that everybody, in the sound of my voice and everybody out here, will stand before the appropriate judge one day. Amen? They will stand. That's who appointed God to be judge. That's who appointed His Word to be judge. Who made you the right to say what is moral and immoral in this world? Listen to me. I don't stand before you telling you that I am God's Word. And if God's Word says that it's right and it's wrong, I will stand. I will preach that. Like that. I understand that. I am sure to tell you this morning there are probably people who have heard my sermons do not like what I preach about what I'm saying here this morning about what's right and wrong. But if I am standing upon God's Word, do you know what? It's either amen or oh my. It's got so bad that after a while people was to live in the day of Noah whenever it said that they repented man that he had made man, thoughts of their heart was evil continually. This is what that meant. Look and study it for yourself and see if that's not what it meant. If you believe in God's Word and what's right and wrong, and you know what, and think that people can turn on you in a hurry, if you believe that, and if you stand upon God's Word, you'll find that out. That they will. They will turn on you in a hurry. But don't lose heart. Don't lose heart this morning. And why I tell you that, because you know what? If Noah were, so shall it also be the coming of the Son of Man. Listen to me. Don't lose heart. What you see going on today, I tell you this, I've been preaching this a lot because I believe that the church needs to hear it. Don't lose. Why? Because we are on the right side if you are standing up with Jesus Christ. You are on the right side. No matter what they try to ram down your throat, as you don't love, and that you're not this, and that you're not tolerant, I'm telling you, if you're standing behind God's word, morning, you are on the right side, and do not lose heart. Don't lose it. You know what? He found favor among the people of the time, and he walked with God. We are told that he walked with God. What does it mean to walk with God? I'm here to tell you this. What it means to walk with God whenever you do it every day of your life, not just on the weekends. That's what it means. He was a weekend Christian. It didn't mean that he was a Wednesday night Christian. It meant that he walked with God 7 days a week, 365 days a year. God. That's why he was of the character that he was. Praise God. I'll tell you what, that's a lesson that Dave Long could learn. Amen? Amen. He didn't give God his weekends and everywhere else he walked by himself. He took God along with him. You know what? Praise God. How about us this morning? I hope and pray this morning that whenever you say that you walk with God and that you are a Christian, you know, Christian, we always say it means to be Christ-like, right? If we make a conscious decision to walk with God, it is a daily, every day, every hour of our life walk with God. That's what it is. He taught his family to live that way. And I hope and pray God commanded him. That's in Genesis 6:22. Whatever God told Noah to do, that's exactly what it is. Now, this is important. Did God do everything? Did Noah did everything God told him to do when it seemed like it was crazy? It said this, that by faith Noah, when warned, built an ark to serve his family. Listen to me. He built an ark. We forget sometimes the circumstances back then. Do you realize it never rained upon the face of the earth yet? Do you understand that? And God told him to build an ark. And you know what? It took him over 100 years to build this ark. And listen to me, it never rained during that time. Could you imagine? This has to be some kind of big tourist attraction. I'm sure it was. I'm sure people walked by. I'm sure people looked at Noah, this crazy old man building an ark out there in the middle of nowhere. You need to get right with God because there's a flood coming and God's going to destroy this earth. I could imagine people walking by and looking at that and saying, that crazy old man. What's he talking? He's building an ark. He's doing this here. Can you imagine him laughing? This went on for over 100 years. And I guarantee you, do you think his family? How many times do you think his wife? How many times did you think that they told him, no, are you really sure? Are you sure? You really sure about this? And Noah said, yes, God told me to do this. God told me to do this. He was going to tell God, and God tells him God is angry with him. And you know what? Noah's telling these people, listen to me. Listen. Noah's telling these people God is angry with them and that they better get right. Now, that ark became a constant reminder to those people that lived around him, those people come by, that you know what? That Noah's judging them and that Noah's telling, that's what's coming out of their mouths. He's telling us that we're wrong. He's telling us that that we need to get right. And here's this crazy old man building an ark. You know what happens whenever you tell people that they're wrong? People can sometimes get downright nasty with you. Amen? They can. And Jesus told us, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and me. Because he goes on to say, rejoice and be glad because great is your reward. Before you, they were going to persecute you. Amen? Why would people persecute the followers of Jesus, you might ask? Well, because you know what? Because we remind them, because we are the ones who are telling them that they need to get right because Jesus is coming back one of these days and they need to get their right hearts right with the Lord. They don't want to hear that. We are constant reminders of that. Lady I read about, she was raised in church from a young child, but she never got saved. She went out, and you know what? She lived a bad life. Finally, the conviction of the Lord came upon her, and she got saved. She went back to church, but all those friends that she had made down through the years, you know what? They couldn't understand. They didn't understand. She was out gathering that they had or something. She was walking around with a cup of pop in her hand. Well, the rest of them were drinking and drinking. I actually got mad at her, come up to her and said, "What, are you too good not to drink with us now? Are you too good not to drink with us now?" Because you, and she had never said a word to him. You see? You see, no matter what, there are people that are going to get upset and mad at us if we never say a word. Because our lives, the way that God has us to live our lives, is what's going to convict them. If you are the Bible that some people will never read, amen? You are that Bible. Young people, you are the Bible that some people will never read. Listen to what I'm saying. You may never have to say a word to them, but you will put conviction upon the heart the way that you live your life. Listen to me. People get ticked off. They might even try to find ways to get back at you. Amen? They may do that. When I'm studying for this, there's a picture of the ark out on the internet. You can find it out there. But anyway, on the side of the ark, it's got this on it out there. For a living creature on the earth. This is out there. You can find it. Including millions of men, women, and every single living child because how charming, because he loved them. That's out there. You can find it out there. They got a picture of the ark, and they've got this on the side of it. That message showed up on a few of the things. If you go out there and look out there on the internet for the ark, you'll find it out there somewhere. That's out there. And you know what? It kind of troubled me for a little bit. You know, it kind of made me upset thinking about that they would think of it. You know why? Because what they're trying to say is that God murdered innocent bystanders, innocent folks, because, you know what? He took out all the evils, but he murdered also innocent ones. They were so corrupt, God couldn't stand it. These folks weren't innocent. They were evil. The world, the Bible tells me that every thought, I told you that every thought was evil. And they weren't innocent bystanders. They've been warned. Listen, 2 Peter 2:5 tells us that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. For over 100 years, these people were warned. Anybody that come by was preached to. Everybody. And do you realize also that once the doors were shut and the animals in it, the rain didn't start for 7 days? They had the opportunity. They had the opportunity to be saved. And they still did not. They didn't repent. They didn't go to sackcloth. They didn't do any of that stuff. Why? Well, do you mean preachers that they could have been saved? Yeah, I believe they could have been saved. You know the story of Jonah? You know the story of Jonah? Nineveh, you know the whole story and how that God had sent Jonah to eventually Jonah within 40 days, if you do not repent, God's going to destroy this place. You know what the Ninevites did? They got on their knees in sackcloth and they repented and God spared Nineveh. God would have spared their lives. Remember that. But you know what? They didn't repent. Were they innocent bystanders? No way. No way. They had the opportunity. Can you visualize them mocking, though? Can you visualize them mocking God? Mocking Noah? I mean, you know, constantly, even after they've been warned for all these years, and visually mocking me, it's not no different than it is today. They're constantly mocking God. Constantly mocking Christians. 2 Peter 3:3-7 tells us this, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, "Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the waters, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." Folks, listen to me. There were come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust. And they're saying this. Do they not say this today? That in saying that where is the promise of his coming? I use the scripture says that he's coming back. Preachers have been preaching it for years. I'm telling you right now that listen to me. He is coming. He said the Bible's trying to warn people. We should try to warn them. They couldn't see it. The people in those days couldn't see the rain. They didn't want to change, so they died. And people today, they cannot see. The Bible is going to be destroyed by fire. The world is going to be destroyed by fire, the Bible tells us. And it's coming. It tells us here, it's reserved into fire against the day of judgment. It's coming. And people, those people will have a chance to change. And I'm here this morning to tell you, we need to warn as many as we can so they will have the opportunity. And the Lord is not slow concerning His promises. He will keep His promise. If He's telling us that the world will be destroyed one of these days and the evildoers will be, it's going to be done. The lesson from this story in the flood is that there is coming. There will be a time when God's patience will run out. I'm telling you, His patience will run out. Have we reached that point? It's obvious we haven't reached it yet. He has not sent, He has not blown the trumpet yet, and Jesus Christ has not come back to get His church. There is still hope. There is still hope. Are we ready? Are you ready this morning? I guess that's the point of it as well. I want to ask everyone that's here, it's the most important question I could ask you. I mentioned it to you one time before, don't miss the boat. I said it earlier. I tell you what, don't miss the boat. You know the door was shut, God. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, I am the door. I am the way. If this morning you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, I beg you, say, come and get a song this morning, come. Come and accept Him into your heart this morning.